What's the name of the podcast, Ethan?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's not a comedy.
It's not going to be a podcast. It's going to be a fucking train wreck.
I wouldn't say that.
Welcome to How to Not Comedy. I'm Mitch Coyne, joined by my co-host, Ethan Bentley.
G'day. How you going?
And we got Cabba.
Hey, mate. On
the podcast. Welcome to the podcast, welcome Cabba.
Thank you. Good to see you guys. It's been a while.
Dude. Yeah, it's been shit. I think the last time I saw you was here.
It's been shit.
It's had its ups and downs.
It's been good, mate. Look at us. We're killing it. Look.
I love it. This is very fancy. Yeah. Very pro.
Yeah. So
last time. Great if you can organise some parking. That'd be great.
Yeah. Well, we're working on it. We'll put some on the roof for you.
I should have given you the heads up that the parking situation is pretty fucked in here.
Is it always like that?
Yeah, pretty much.
We don't have to be that old and talk about parking. Sorry, I shouldn't have brought
it up. You're right.
Mate, I've nearly had fucking full-on, like, fights with people on the street trying to find parking.
Yeah.
It is a bit like that, though. They've got the trams everywhere, and you're like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Give me a bit of parking.
Mitch is easily rolled up, though.
Yeah, there's a bit of that.
I
had a bloke fucking tailgate me one day as I've gone to park. So I've like had my blinker on. He's just like to reverse park, and he's just like right up my ass. And I'm like, well, I got to park. So I would just like chuck my reverse on, and then he's like honked his horn, and I'm like, I'm out of the car. I'm like, mate, I got to park. He's like, I can't reverse back. I'm like, well, that's your fucking problem, dude. Like, get out of the way. He ended up going around me. I was like, oh, well.
Came back, your car's all keyed and tires all...
Mate. You're fighting an uphill battle there, because have you seen Mitch's car?
Yeah, it's a hunk of shit anyway.
Yeah,
it's
if you scratched
actually,
it.
Do you know what we got? We went to one of those orchards where we can pick your own fruit.
Yeah.
And out at Wiseman's Ferry, but it just happened to be the day that we did it. Everybody in fucking Western Sydney wanted to go as well.
Yeah.
So it was just that one thing. We were like, let's go out the country. It'll be nice. Take the kids. And we went out there, and everyone in Sydney was there. Like, it was just ridiculous overkill. One guy gave me his spot, not noticing, but there was another guy. Like, basically what happened was this guy goes, mate, you can have my spot. I'm going.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that there was a guy already waiting. Right. And he didn't hear that guy say to me, you can have my spot. So I just took it, and then he lost it. He got real angry.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't know, man. We're just going to go pick some fruit, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? And we came back. And he keyed our car all the way around it, right?
Oh.
Right. But but this is how you turn a positive, turn a negative into a positive, right?
Yeah.
Every
tell me,
time I wash the car,
yeah,
and or if I see the scratches, I mean, I got kids; they're probably going to fucking key it anyway, right?
Yeah,
they're going to destroy it somehow.
Yeah,
you think the outside's bad? Yeah, right. And I was like, but every time I see this key where he's keyed it, I just have a bit of a chuckle and I think, fuck, that guy loved mandarins. Yeah. Like, I always see him and I think, I hope he's getting his dose of vitamin C. Like,
He
was keen for mandarins.
He was ready to commit a felony.
Yeah, like he loves them. Like, imagine that. What are you in here for? Mandarins. Yeah. Yeah, so good old mate out there who's keyed my car. I'm thinking of you, buddy. I'm thinking of you.
Swings and roundabouts, mate.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, I think it was the last time I've been here. The last time I seen you was here when we did the two nights back to back.
Yeah.
One in that church place and then the next one.
Yeah, it's Watt Street and then, the showcase, Saturday showcase here. That was a great weekend.
It was.
Yeah.
It was good. It was really good. We got to catch up.
Yeah.
And we both gigs went pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. No one bombed, which is, you can't always guarantee that.
No.
You never know. There was a couple of weeks later, there was someone who came through Saturday Showcase and just fucking ate a big one up here.
Oh, really?
It was rough. They got off stage and they're like, I don't think I was ready for this kind of room yet. Like, they were really sort of young in the comedy.
Mate, it happens. I did a corporate gig, but they're probably sometimes the hardest ones because they're not set up for comedy.
No. And they're the person
just
hosting.
They just go, we seen you. Do that funny thing you do, but do it here.
Yeah.
In this environment.
What's the worst one that you've done corporate-wise? Who was it for? Without saying exactly what it was.
Without saying the names.
Like what type of...
Well, it was it was that same scenario where a friend of mine's, well, this chick I know, she's seen me perform.
Yeah.
And said, come to my work, we're doing a fundraiser. And it was in Sutherland Shire. I was in this leagues club and I was just about to go on. I'm having problems with the microphone the whole time.
Yeah.
I was just about to go on and they said, oh, listen, by the way, you're not allowed to swear at all.
Just before you're about just to go before, on?
Like, I'm talking, we're about to introduce this next. Hang on a second, I'm not allowed to swear. Right, it was like that. Right?
Yo,
no, you're fucking swear, kidding me.
No swearing at all. And as you know, a lot of my stuff is about me bagging out my kids.
Yep.
Yeah. And putting shit on them. Yep. And then I also found out that it was a fundraiser for disabled children. So I'm in a room now with people who really, really love their kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I love mine too, but, you know, I'm here putting shit on them hardcore.
Yeah.
And they're all about boosting it. Like, you know, that's okay. You came 28th. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
And so that was a pretty hard one. And they were all like in their 70s. A lot of the people that were in their 70s. And I'm like, fuck, this is, you could hear a pin drop. Yeah. I was to the point where I just said, look, if you don't start laughing, I'm going to keep telling more jokes. So you want me to get off?
Yeah.
You want me to wrap this up? You had a couple of, you always get a couple of people in the corner that are snickering, like quiet, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's like they're smoking behind the toilet block. They don't want to laugh. And
yeah.
They want to laugh, but like they know they shouldn't be because everyone else isn't.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's the corporate sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah. The people tricky, man. I've never done one, but fuck, I don't know if I'd want to.
Like, do you know what, though? I actually thought it was quite good because it, I was driving home and I was just pissing myself laughing how bad it went.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, it's, you know, when you're going along, you're going all right. Normally you can go in there, you know, pretty much, you know, you're set, right? Mm. So you're like, oh, I can modify it here. I can make this up. And I just ate a dick that night. It was that simple. It was just nothing was going to work, even if I wanted it to.
Yeah. And in those situations, it's not really your fault.
No. So you just had to laugh at it.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it was terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible. That was probably the worst one I've ever done.
Yeah.
And then the other ones are just bad where, like, you'll be daylight and they'll be eating. I can't stand it when they bring out the food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's like they put the comedian in like a spare space. Oh, I've got a little bit of time here where everyone's eating dinner for
Jindabyne,
half an
mate.
Hour.
I watched Luke Heggie. Like, he still did good because it's Luke Heggie. It's like, he's going to go well. But it was rough and it was like an eatery area in like a club in Jindabyne. He's on stage just off to the side and everyone's just clanking knives and forks and cutting steaks and shit. And he's just like, oh, this is brutal, man.
And they've got their mouths full.
Yeah.
And if they do want to laugh, they're not laughing loud. It's like,
yeah.
Or they're leaning over. What do you say?
Yeah.
What do you say?
Oh, yeah. They're the good ones. I saw him do a fucking gig at the I can't remember, it was up the road here, and it was like a Christmas party and no one was having it, like people were just there talking, they're just talking the whole time, like he had his opener there and the opener's like, what the fuck, like this is our first gig back after lockdown sort of thing, like travel
and everyone just
here.
Wants to get pissed because that's the first time they can get shit
exactly.
Yeah, and they want to chat with each other because everyone's been locked inside,
been locked
socially
up
isolated.
Years,
so it's like, hey, I want to talk to fucking Jim from accounting, but you know, you can't because some dickhead's on stage trying to make you laugh.
Yeah, exactly. People started talking over the top of him as well. And like a couple of times, the table we were at, there was another comedian there, and he like had to walk over to people like, hey, like have some fucking respect. Like, because it is. It's really disrespectful. The venue puts on a show. Like, it's all fucking above board. They know there's a comedy show happening that night. And people were just like, nah, fucking not having a bar of it. Getting upset at us for telling them to shut up because there's someone on stage talking. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know this was a comedy show. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's the thing.
This was a pub.
That's a big thing is that in the corporate, when you're doing a corporate gig, not everyone's there for comedy.
Mm.
Then it's probably, there might only be a handful of people who actually watch comedy.
Yeah.
They might have done the whole, oh, it's a surprise. We've got a special surprise.
But that's so did the fucking comedian that night.
Yeah.
He got a surprise too.
Exactly. Someone I know was talking about doing a gig the other day, and they brought him up. They're like, all right, now we've got, it was like a bunch of engineers. Like it was an engineering firm. And they brought him up. All right, we've got one last speak for the night. They're all just talking about engineering, like how to fucking stop bridges from rusting and shit. And he's going to do a 2-hour talk on some fucking boring topic. And everyone's like, oh, great. Awesome. And then they've introduced the committee. He's just about to walk up there like, no, I'm actually here to do comedy.
Like, oh, they thought it was going to be funny.
Yeah,
this will be a joke. Let's set him up as like a TED talk on like engineering that they all want to hear.
Yeah.
Nah, just kidding. He's going to talk about his dick. that poor guy.
Yeah. Yeah, just fucking sandbagged him.
Yeah, it is. They're not the... It sounds fancy when you go, oh, I do corporates, but it's... Mm. Nah.
Nah.
You're taking one for the team. It's a gamble every time you do.
Yeah. They'll pay you a couple of $100 though.
And then you'd be like, yeah. You might get a good one where you go, that was mad. But I don't think there's not one that you're not working your ass off though.
Mm.
Yeah. I think it's fucked though that like they asked you and then they've seen what you do and you're like, that's exactly what you're going to get. Don't ask me not to swear at the last second.
Oh, that was brutal.
Brutal as hell.
It was like doing a gig for the Queen, I guess.
Yeah.
So it was all these oldies and they're just sitting there and they're just staring at you and
you're at Gosford actually, now that I remember. We did the Gosford gig.
The golf club.
At the golf club.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You remember I went from having an applause break to fucking bombing in the same set.
Was that at the Wyong?
Yeah, it was at the Wyong Golf
Club. Dave Perry's gig.
When did you do that?
We did it.
Because I seen you.
You were there, yeah.
Yeah, you were MC'ing.
I got an applause break halfway through the set.
Oh, you did too. That's right. You started going dark and they all went, whoa.
Yeah. It's too real.
But it wasn't dark. It was just, it's dark, but it was just that crowd weren't ready for that.
No. were all like.
It's funny how it's hit and miss.
Yeah,
I like that house.
They were all old crowd, and you were doing jokes about having a stroke, and they're like, "Oh my, my friend just had a stroke the other day."
You were losing your audience.
Yeah.
During they're all dropping off having strokes.
Yeah. It was too relatable.
Yeah, it's too.
You ever
relatable.
Been too relatable?
Comedians are always saying, "Oh, I've got to write relatable material." We fucking do it, and people lose their minds.
Yeah. How's that gig going to go next week at the retirement village, Mitch?
We'll see. We'll see. Arnie Bev's hosting, so. Yeah. We're trying to get more of our own shows, do more time at the moment. And, we've got a gig next week at the Booze House. And I've never been there.
Where's that at?
It's in Woolloomooloo, like just around the corner from King Street.
Cool.
So, like, where the old Coke sign used to be, along the main road there.
Yeah.
I think there's, like, a little lane, like, sort of semi-laneway there.
Yes.
And it's, like, in there, and you turn left onto King Street, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
You can see the Coke sign from the venue.
Yeah.
Out the front.
It's that close.
Pretty close, yeah.
It's pretty close, so.
We'll see how it goes. Never done it before, but fuck it.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Well, comedy, what's that? Canteen for Comedy, is it? Or Comedy Canteen or something?
Yeah.
It's down near, it's down a bit further. It's closer to Woolloomooloo. But every time I've been there, it's been fun.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. We're hoping people fucking come out for it. There's someone, there's like a TV producer coming to it now. We're supposed to do it this weekend past, and they had like a private party for us. A certain TV show that's on SBS, and
it's full of bogans.
Yeah.
Oh well, then that's all right then.
Yeah,
that's
so
cool.
We've
it's not like it's about it. Raising money for disabled children.
So my little brother's like talking the gig up to the producer, and now he's coming next week, and I'm like, fuck, man, like if he goes bad. It's going to be so much worse having a TV producer there.
I could not care anyway.
That's all right. Yeah. Look, hey, you get good TV producers, you get well-known ones, you get ones at a shithouse. So don't worry. But if you don't know where on the spectrum he sits, then don't worry about it.
Yeah, It'll just be funny that my little brother's like G'd this up, like, oh yeah, this would be good. It's like it's
dog shit.
He's probably like a TV producer. He's even like massive. And your little brother's just like totally winged it, and like you don't know what you've got coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it could be just for something like, you know, TV producer for the uni.
Yeah, no. It's anyway.
That's fine.
Well, guys, I got to tell you, I've got to tell you what I was going to say to you. I was going to say, that's right. I was just going to say I'm looking forward to my next gig, but I've already done it.
Yeah.
Have you been up to Katoomba?
No.
Amanda Gray's got a room up there. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're fucking, it's one of those things as well, like with comedy. It's like you're either busy. I've found it's one of two things. There's either nothing going on or you're just fucking busy. Run off your feet. It's weird. Like, that's what I've found anyway. But this Katoomba room, like, how long's it been going for?
I don't know. But I was up there. I was lucky to I was happy to know. I mean, look, I went on for about 45, so I was, like, loving it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was absolutely loving it. And it was one of those ones where, you, like, you don't want to get off, but you're like, come on, mate. There's a guy in the background sweeping up. Like, it's fucking... you know. But it was, it was awesome.
So have you filmed your show yet?
I haven't done anything yet. And I've finally got enough material to do my own show. It's about bloody time. I've been doing this for a while. So, I'm going to do my own show. Trying to find a photographer that will just do normal headshots is ridiculous.
Yeah, okay.
Everyone's I just seem to find like they do weddings or they do couple stuff or they just do family photos or...
Yeah.
It's scenery photos or it's something, you know, rather than just, mate, I just need a couple of fucking photos of my head.
Just get James to do it, man. He'll do it for you.
Really?
The camera's here. Yeah. There's one sitting right up there.
Oh, there is too.
Yeah, we'll just take stage.
Done.
Photos. Yeah. Fucking easy.
Oh, I need a white, I need a white background. It needs to be a white
there's
background.
There's one behind there.
Is there one behind that? Even better.
Yeah.
For the projector.
Yeah, done, so I've done, got mate. That.
Easy.
I've got someone lined up who's going to help me do the poster. Just start doing it. I don't know what to do yet.
Have you got a venue in mind?
No, I don't know where to go because you know you got to have. Yeah, this is definitely here.
Yeah.
This is definitely like a one of them, big time.
Yeah.
But it's deep. Still the festivals and stuff, man. Because your hour will be red hot. Like, because not everyone's seen it, but I reckon if you get it out there, people will want to come see it.
Oh, sure. Thanks, mate. Fucking hope so. That's the theory in what we're supposed to be doing.
Oh, man. Once people catch wind of it, fucking oath. But it's getting the wind out there.
Yeah.
It's like letting people know.
Yeah,
this fucking red hot hour that they need to see.
This is hands down my favourite comedy club ever. Like better than any of the other ones. I just fell in love with it the first night we came here.
Yeah.
And how it was set up and how, like, and the story of how it began. You know, it's just, it's wicked.
Yeah.
There's no big wanky thing about it. It's just a couple of dudes trying to put on a show.
Yeah. And that's the best, man.
And it's just, mate, I've only been here twice, but I can imagine it's like that every time.
Yeah. Did you MC here when you come up or you just did a spot?
No, I did a spot.
Yeah.
I think I headlined. Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
Packed room. Was it packed out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Has been, like, it's been...
Like that scene? Yeah. It was just absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
Man, I've even written crowds, it. It's written on the toilets how much I loved it.
Yeah.
they always sell out their Saturday showcases here. There's usually about... When we did it, there was like a cap of 60 people. And we had a great night that night. Yeah, come back when it's like they fill it up right to the end where those chairs are.
Yeah.
People just packed in.
Well, we were sitting on that little... People. Is there a little stage thing at the back there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like where the comics are? Yeah. We had. And even that, we were playing musical chairs. Like if someone got up, you lose your fucking seat. So all the comics are sitting there waiting for someone to take a piss or buy a drink or something.
Yeah. It's cutthroat. Yeah. The old fucking chairs on the back.
And then it's like...
Yeah.
Everyone gets a break. Yeah. You just rotate it. That's the green room. Just up the back.
Yeah.
That's good.
We and then when we want to talk shit, we take it out the back into the area.
Oh, no, that's when everyone comes off and everyone's amped up and they're like, oh, yeah, that was mad at the bit. And everyone's like, shh, fuck, get it down. Shh,
get
it down. Yeah. Shh, Ethan's on. I don't fucking care. I'm fucking on nail it. I love how it's like that. Everyone's like quiet, quiet. And then as soon as when they come off, one after the other, everyone's all amped up. And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Especially at the open mics. Like, because it's a bit, it's fucking way looser on Tuesday night at the open mic. And just comics talking shit out the back. It's like, this is fucked. Yeah. What happened? Last Tuesday was so wild, man. Just a crowd of like 30 people in here, no one laughing. And
really?
Like people are like laying down good material and they're just giving nothing.
it's
crazy. So humbling.
It's just a tune-up for your self-esteem. That's
exactly. Yeah. That was like the Crown and Anchor down the road. You know that gig?
Yeah, yeah.
Notorious for being absolutely fucked.
It's Kyle Legacy gave me that. That was my first headline gig there.
Yeah, nice.
Down there?
Yeah.
I didn't realise what he was throwing me into, but that was my first headline.
Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah. Didn't tell me it was Taco Tuesday, so everyone was down there. Most of the people were there to eat tacos, not see you.
You finished the gig, you're like, does Kyle hate me?
I thought it'd be funny, though.
Yeah. Oh, mate, that room, it was...
I actually enjoyed that night. It was still a good night.
Last time you emceed it, I think we all had a great night. We all just got up.
Oh, that's right, when it was just us there.
Yeah, yeah. We just got up, we just told stories.
We had like three people.
Yeah, something fucking...
From the audience that were there. Yeah. But then we just got up telling shit. I loved how we got up and I started doing my set and I'm like...
What am I doing?
What am I doing my bit in front of you guys for?
Yeah, you've all seen it.
Expecting some sort of sympathy laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, fuck it. And then we just started telling... That's right, we just started telling stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told the fucking paddock wank stories. I just used to fucking walk out into the middle of a panic, jerk off.
That's right. I think I was telling the one about my son, how like in lockdown when I busted him wanking.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was just... it's not that I busted him. It was how he did it. It was fucking terrible.
He just leaves the fucking
door open. Yeah.
Fuck, the confidence.
What a rookie.
Where does he get it from?
Yeah. Oh,
that's
mate.
That's a confident man.
That's
you got
my
there.
Boy. Yeah. It's funny that he doesn't come to any of the shows anymore that I tell that story more often.
That'll do it.
And here he is here. Yeah.
Wait till he's 21st.
Yeah.
Then you can
then
fucking...
he's there. Then he might find it funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's fucking mates, Will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tell us more, Mr. Cabba.
So you just got back from Threadbay, man. You had your... Just take us through what you did down
mate,
in Threadbay.
That was absolutely life-changing. And I tell you now, it was the best thing I've ever done in my life. And I say that because I'm a new person after it.
So it certainly wasn't the comedy gig runs. That
no, there's definitely no gigs on that week. Actually, I did do a gig because they found out, well, you know, I can't shut my mouth joking around all the time. And then they're like, well, we're going to have a, what'd they call it? It was like a fun, sort of like an old school hey at Saturday night, like a, you know, get up and do something that you can do. Party tricks. Variety show.
Yeah.
Anything. Like someone would get up. And anyway, I got up and did my bit. I did my set, and I was like, I loved it. Oh, I loved it. It was so much fun, and it was really good because we were spent like so. Basically, to give you, it's called Breathless Expeditions. That's the name of the company that I went with. And the guy, what would you call him? The dude. I don't know what you would call him.
The guru. The dude
is Johannes.
Rings a bell.
Johannes and his team. Absolutely amazing. Like some of the people he's got Lou, he's got Chelsea, he's got this lady Joanna. Oh my God, the way she sings. It's all the whole package is just works in all with everything. Mm. So we would get there, we would do these breathing sessions. And he's trained by Wim Hof.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so but he's put his own spin on it.
Mm. Yeah.
Sort of thing. so we when we first got there, and I was trying to walk, talk myself out of it on every case, like getting closer to the day.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I think a little bit of a sniffle. Maybe I've got Rona. I probably shouldn't go. Maybe this has happened and maybe that's happened. Maybe
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
trying
it's to all find... the same thing you tell yourself before you get in the cold water. It's
like, yeah, all yeah, these things all the you're just trying to fucking, the old ego's at it. Yeah. Just stay safe, stay
yeah.
home.
Yeah.
And then I just, last minute, I went with a friend of mine who, Sammy, who I carpooled with her down there. And thanks, shout out to Sammy. She drove 7 hours there and 7 hours back. I didn't do anything, so that was awesome.
Yeah, that's fucking sick.
She went hardcore. I was surprised.
I bet you kept her awake for the drive, though.
Oh, mate, I didn't shut up. All the way there, all the way back, you know? Yeah. But, yeah, it was. I'll tell you why it was life-changing, because we went there and I knew that we were going to do cold exposure. I knew that we were going to walk through the snow and climb mountains in our shorts and all that sort of stuff. But I didn't realise there's a real big, like with the breath exercises, it can get real spiritual.
Yeah.
And you can help release trigger and traumas and stuff like that. It's really, really cool. Very, very interesting. But, yeah, on the first night when I got there, we went into this lovely little old shack sort of shed, and then you do the, you know, big fireplace in it, so you're warm and you lay down on your yoga mats and you do your breathing session. And I was like, oh, this is pretty cool.
Yeah,
I
nice
can
and
do
comfortable.
This. This is pretty cool. Yeah. Like, and you get a little bit Wim Hof, a bit like DMT sort of with your breathing, you know, it's a bit cool. And then he's like, right, let's get in our swimmers. And I'm thinking, fuck, it's 8:30 at night, mate.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk through this bloody Crackenback through all the village, and sure enough, there we are walking through in our shorts, and we got basically had to have a partner. You just hold someone's hand till you got to the river, to the creek or the river or whatever it is.
Yeah,
and then he's like, right, he goes, get your clothes out. He goes, you got to get your clothes out in the order that you'd put them on, because you're gonna when you come out, you're gonna be freezing. You're gonna start losing senses to your fingers and stuff. And I'm like, oh, fucking hell!
Yeah.
All right. And then he's like, no torches. Let your eyes adjust to the moon. Lucky it was just about a full moon, so we're
of course
lucky
it was.
That.
You crazy fuckers.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. And then next thing we just went straight into the river. We're all like linked arms, and we dropped down to our chest. Sort of our armpits, I guess. You don't know how long you're in there for. I reckon we must have been. You go in there. I know because I've studied so much with the Wim Hof prior to this.
Yeah.
I know that they do from 2 minutes to five is all you really need to do, and it has to be below. Oh, they've seen health benefits start from below 18 degrees. But it was a lot fucking colder than that.
Yeah,
fucking like, we were talking. There's snow on the ground,
mate. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a zero. I don't know, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was fucking cold.
Close to freezing.
Yeah, close to freezing.
Yeah.
Well, put it this way: on the last day, that same lake that we went in, because we'd go all over different places to change it up.
Yeah.
So he took us to this place in Threadbow where there's a big waterfall, and there's all snow around it, and then we're at the bottom of that, and that was amazing. Yeah, so they're constantly changing it up, the areas where we went. But on the first night that we went at 8:30 at night, I'm like, fuck, this is fuck. What have I signed up for?
Yeah.
And then that same lake on the last night was frozen. So we had to smash the ice to get into it.
Yeah.
And it was some of the girls got cut. Like, it was that sharp as well.
Yeah, okay.
But we're picking up chunks of ice and smashing it to get in it.
Yeah.
And this was early in the morning. And even Johannes was, pardon me, I was in the car with him driving to the lake.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck, it's frozen. I've never seen it frozen. And I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, there's ducks walking across the lake.
Yeah.
You know? And here we are smashing it.
Yeah.
In the morning trying to get into this water. And just, it was funny, man. There must have been about... Oh, probably 20, 30 people came out completely wrapped up, like totally wrapped up in all their ski gear, watching us going, you know, in our shorts. The girls are in their bikinis. And we're doing this big, you know, down in the water, linked arms and, mental. But it was awesome. And doing that every day, that was Friday. We went home Monday. Monday was when we were in the water again. So... Monday, I got home Monday night,
Yeah.
But it was no, and there was no itinerary. He would just say, right, you know, we climbed Mount Gathica wearing all our proper snow gear because it was pretty much a blizzard up the top.
Yeah.
That was pretty hardcore. But then when we got back, we're driving back and everyone's fucked. Like, everyone's exhausted. We just climbed the mountain.
Yeah.
We haven't eaten. It was now 2:30. We just want to go home and eat.
Yeah.
All right. 2:30 in the afternoon. Hungry. No breakfast. No nothing. We're exhausted.
Yeah.
And we're driving along and he goes, everyone has to follow me.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm like, fuck. All right. So we're following him. And then he starts turning into this trout farm. And I'm like, fuck you. We're not going home.
No.
We're not going home. And then he drives us down and there's this river where everyone's fishing trout. And yeah, sure enough, he's like, right, get in the swimmers. Get it out of your head, man. Get it out of your head. Yeah. And we're all like, we just want to go home and eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, fuck that shit. Get it out of your head. So it was really cool. It was. Even though he's like, it was just constantly pushing you.
Yeah.
To just get out of your head. Same as us when we go to a gig and you're like, oh, shit, I'm freaking out.
Yeah, man. I used to throw up before every gig.
Oh, same. I'd be like in and out of the toilet. Yeah. Fucking
shitting and
Weeing, pissing, whatever. Yeah. You're vomiting, whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Freaking out, you know, and then it's the same thing. It's just about that getting it out of your head. It's like that, you know, Wim Hof says, no ego, it's we go.
Yeah.
You know, and Johannes is like awesome with like, just get it out of your head. Don't worry about it. Don't listen to that. That's just fucking blah, 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 blah.
Do you reckon it helps being in a big group of people to like have that, you're all together doing it?
So it does.
You don't want to be the one to fucking pike out on everyone.
Mate, when I came home and I did my ice bath on my own.
Would have been harder.
In the backyard, it was, heaps harder.
Yeah.
Heaps harder.
Yeah.
and that was only, I got it down to 2.5 degrees, which was nothing compared to what we would have been in those river.
Yeah.
In those rivers at Thredbo.
It would have been way colder.
Yeah.
And it's running water, so I don't know if it can actually get colder.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Than zero, because it's running, so if it's still
constantly coming off.
But yeah, it's like, man, that's cold.
And it was like, one thing was really good was that what you would do is when you're in a group and you're all linked, you would just find someone on the other side of the circle and you would link eyes with them and you just go yell out their name.
Right? Yeah.
And then you go, hey, look at me. And you're just like,
yeah,
because they might be freaking out. They might be starting to panic.
Yeah,
like, you know, breathing crazy, and then
you're
like, yeah, it's slowly dying.
Yeah,
or quickly dying.
Hypothermia. Yeah.
And you're just sort of saying to them, "Hey, I'm safe. You're safe."
Yeah.
And then they would calm down.
Yeah.
Whereas if you've seen someone freaking out and you're freaking, if you're going, "Hey, I'm fucking," and you're, me too. it doesn't help the situation.
Have you ever seen it Bushdoofs where someone's just on acid and they're just losing their fucking shit over the other side? You're just like, oi, are you all right over there? You look after people. It's fucking the same thing, man. Big groups of people doing drugs. You're like, you got to look after each other.
Yeah.
Otherwise, someone's going to wander off and fall down a wombat hole.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It is. It's all about just letting know as a group.
Yeah,
everything's okay, and then even that was even another thing. We would get out, and if someone was warm, or they got warm quicker, then they would start helping others. Like put your shoes on. Can't feel my fingers. Can't do my shoelaces up.
Yeah,
all these sort of stuff.
Because that might be you on the next one. You never know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it was me on one of them because I didn't have the wetsuit booties. You know those
that
you
can
get, mate. That is a fucking game changer. I didn't notice until the last day.
You didn't take
it. My mate gave me, try these on, and I was like, all right, I'll try these on. And I was like, these are sick. I can stay in the water for ages.
Yeah, okay.
Because my feet, and my hands are probably the quickest ones that freeze up and make it uncomfortable.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then that's where the pain is. Yeah, yeah, there's a reason for that. Yeah, the body's like, we don't need those to survive.
Yeah,
we'll drop them off.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, doing that, it was just absolutely amazing. There was no time. There was no time to sit on your phone. It was constantly going. And if you weren't going, it was like, yeah, if you weren't climbing a mountain or you weren't in the water, you were either eating, you were talking to people in the group, and you just didn't have time to fuck around and sit on and waste your time with socials or anything like that.
Do you reckon you could, like, because you've done a bit of cold exposure and breathing and stuff like that beforehand, but do you reckon someone that's had none of that should go to this type of thing?
I would say that there was people there that I reckon were yeah, I'm pretty sure there was a couple of people there who have never done ice exposure, like cold exposure before.
That's fucking mad.
Yeah. And what it was, like, there was times when we would split up the groups. So it's like there might be some, like when we climbed Mount Gathica, there was two groups where one, they would stop and start and take their time to sort of breathe through. And then there was others where they would just power through. And I tried to sneak into the second group. And I said to Johannes, oh, I'm a bit funny today about today. I don't know, just feeling a bit funny about, you know.
Oh, you're trying to go the easy route.
I was trying to go the easy one. I wanted to go the stop start.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, no, fuck that shit. You're with me.
He knew.
Yeah. So, and then he's like, nah, you know, get it out of your head. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
When I went through recruits, one of the things, having gone through that experience, middle of winter, fucking freezing as well, you get through like the really, really rough days there was particularly 1 week where they'll just destroy you. You can't do anything right. They'll kill your confidence and then that'll make you fuck up more. And then it's just about, like, it's you and a group of people and yous are all there and yous have just got to get through it. And then when you get through it, that feeling of camaraderie with those people and having that feeling of, like, also when you're in the shit as well, it's like, all right, we're in the shit. This is, like, we're all here. Like, yeah. We've just got to get through it. Like, and that feeling of having got through it as well, did you feel that sort of camaraderie 100%. With those people?
100%. Yeah. And I was even saying to my missus when I got back, it was crazy how much love and support we had for each other. Mm. And it wasn't sexual.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, there's a chick or this is, or, you know, someone, there was not, if you hug someone, it wasn't, or it was all because it was just pure bonding.
Your little prawns turned inside out. It's like, oh. There's nothing sexual going on.
There's no dude pulling their dicks out in a fucking ice
bath. I tell you this, on the first night, my fucking junk was fucking hurting. Yeah. I don't know if my dick was trying to squeeze out my asshole, and I had hemorrhoids for a week. Yeah. They're like, no, that's not hemorrhoids, mate. That's your dick. Yeah. It's gone so far in. And I was like in pain. I was like, I could feel like all the skin of your balls, everything was just scratched. Tight. Yeah. I was like, we can't get any tighter.
Yeah.
Like it was that cold. The water was that cold. I swore I seen three fish on the bank with towels around them going, fuck that, I'm not getting in there. Yeah. It was painful. So then here's a tip. Wear undies under your board shorts if you're going to do extremely cold exposure.
Yeah, your little brawn just fucking. Because
your fucking just shriveled up.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good. It was exactly what you said. Yeah. It was all about like, let's get through it. Let's just do it together. Let's bond. You know, and you would know too. Some people would fall off, and that they might have been strong in that last exercise, but that person's crumbling on this one.
Mm. Yeah,
and then et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, and it just becomes like, and then even at dinner time, like you know. Sometimes we would serve and others would sit down and then those who were serving the food or whatever, however it worked.
Yep.
It was
musical
just a
chairs.
Big family, yeah.
Yeah.
Were there any couples there?
No. And I wouldn't go with a couple.
Yeah.
I don't think you should because, put it this way, in my life, in the last 3 months, I've had a fair bit of shit happen to me lately, right? And I already booked this a year before, because I love Wim Hof and I love his exercises and everything. And I seen this and my friend went to it, Sammy the girl. This was her second year.
Yeah.
And when I seen the photos that she posted on social media, I was like, oh, fuck, I've got to go to that. Because that's the closest I can get to Wim Hof without going to Amsterdam or Poland or wherever he is. So then I went, but it just worked out that even my wife said to me, she goes, look, you need to go and go for you. She goes, because we miss you. We need you back. Because I went all in my head. I had so much stress going on.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't, being present.
Mm.
And I was always trying. Like, you know how many times when you go, oh, I need to go fishing. And then you go fishing and you're like, fuck, I need to be at home.
Yeah.
Or I need to go do this. Or I need to be at work. I need to make money. And then you're at work and you're like, fuck, I hate working.
Yeah.
You know, so there was all of that sort of stuff. It was just a big mess.
Mm.
And then when I went, I'm so glad I went on my own because I could focus on me.
Yeah.
And it was my time. And it's that classic scenario where you need to, I had to stop to sharpen the saw.
Yeah.
so I could you know, keep cutting.
You're lucky that you've got such a supportive wife in that she's able to just sort of tell you the truth and identify that and not internalize that, because there's a lot of people out there, and I'm not saying just women, a lot of people out there who would internalize that, like, Cabba's having a fucking, he's been having a rough go of it lately, he's been busy, stressed out, oh, I need to do something, I need to take that on, like...
She was carrying, and she felt that. She goes, look, you know, I'm carrying, feels like she's carrying for everyone, for the whole family.
Yeah.
Like, we've got four kids.
Yeah.
And if dad's fucking, he's running in fight or flight constantly for the last 3 months, then it's just like, you know, you're there, but he's not.
Yeah.
And then soon as we're not, and you know what's funny? I came back a completely different person, completely calmed and everything. And it was so funny because even my daughter, she was like, I was home for probably 3 hours and she already snapped it and said, I don't want dad here. I don't like, you know, I want dad, the old dad, because she was so used to the chaos.
Yeah.
And she wasn't getting that spontaneous reaction of me snapping or whatever. Mm. I was just calm.
Yeah.
You know, I was a shamanic cabba.
Yeah.
You know? Incense burning and hum and, you know, they're trying to look for that retaliation.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it's not worth arguing about that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fight for that. Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, he touched me. Yeah. He pulled my hair. He did this. I'm like, oh, walk away from him. Don't give him that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny how normally you run and fight or flight, you're all over the place.
Mm.
But yeah, when I came back home, I would definitely recommend going your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you need to.
Well, like you said, you're trying to pick people around the circle that you're trying to help support and stuff like that. If you've got your partner with you, it's going to be like, oh, I'm just going to go with them every time.
Yeah. Well, see, even Sammy, she's my mate. We went to this event together.
Yeah.
And even on the first day, we were just like, when we did the breathing session, we were laying like next to each other on yoga mats. And then the next event, we just split up because we're like, what's the point of
you's both understand.
Being together all the time, even though we're mates?
Yeah.
There's no point going, oh, well, I experienced that with Sammy.
Yeah.
You want to go, I experienced that for the best of I could for my ability.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and we all know, like, if we're not full of happiness, then we can't perform happiness.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
You know?
Yeah. You've got to get up there. I do my best work and I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm up there and I'm relaxed, I'm happy, and I'm trying to have a good time.
Yeah.
If I'm having a good time up there, the crowd's having a good time.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
There's a saying, and it's like, you can't give what you don't have.
Yeah.
And you know, we can't perform at our best. I know a lot of us have been through dark times in our lives, and that's how we end up in this, because we've used comedy for humor. Yeah. We've used humor for the medicine of dealing, going through certain things.
Yeah.
And then that's some of us how we can, you know. That's why some of the stuff we laugh at is probably the darkest stuff.
Yeah.
It's not what the average person would think is funny.
Yeah.
But we have to, even though we've used that, you're right, we have to be completely in a good state.
Yeah.
To be up there and not burnt out.
Yeah. That's what breaks my heart when I see, like, the other night with the open mic. I'm like, it was a bit of a weird crowd, a little bit disjointed, a little bit split up. But I ended up saying to them, I'm like, guys, like, what the fuck? Like, if you enjoy yourselves, you'll have a good time. And it sounds like an obvious thing to say, but what I'm saying is, if you just fucking get into it, the comedians, if you give us something, we'll fucking give you something back, and it's a self-feeding cycle. Some of these open mics and some of these crowd members, they sit in the front row, they don't laugh. They don't get into it.
You're watching TV. The TV audience.
Yeah.
I reckon there's something else going on there. Honestly, I think
they need a good fucking cold bath. That's what they need.
It's like, maybe it's the crowd, but it's 50-50, like you said. So there's something going on the stage as well. It's an issue.
Yeah. Well, look, someone said to me, doesn't matter how much of a good comedian you are, it's like sailing, right? Like, you could be you could be the best sailor in the world.
Yeah.
But if the weather's shit, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you can just, you know, sometimes you just, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Man, yeah. And but saying to your back to your comment about how like just have a good time.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in my mid 20s and I got a lot of Lebanese mates that I grew up with, and I went to my first Muslim wedding, which is no alcohol.
Yeah.
Right? So, and no bacon.
I'm out. Right? I'm
yeah,
out.
You're out. And I was like in my mid 20s. I was like partying sort of time. And I remember I went to this wedding and I'm just sitting there and I'm like, fuck, I don't know how to dance the way they dance, and they got their, you know, their cultural dances and stuff like that. And I don't know. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, there's no beer, there's no fucking, what am I going to do? Yeah. You know, the old confidence in the can wasn't there. None of that. And then my mate, one of my Lebanese mates came up to me and he said, look, he said, you either sit here and you just enjoy yourself and you go home and you say, I had a good time.
Mm.
He said, or you get up, you fucking dance like you've never danced before. You don't know how to dance.
Yeah.
He goes, and you have a fucking mad time.
Yeah.
And you leave and go, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
He goes, it's your choice.
Mm.
So I took the second one.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Still don't know how to dance.
Yeah.
with that traditional dancing that they do. Yeah. But, mate, you just get up and get into it. It's fucking...
Give it a go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that dance like no one's watching, you know?
Yeah. I went to a wedding. It was... during period, I was so fucking depressed. I was like depressed, had real bad anxiety, like social anxiety, and it was just like a fuck time. And I went to this wedding and I remember just sitting at this table with strangers, and usually I'm okay. Like I can just be me. I'll fucking start cracking jokes and then usually it's all good. This one night, man, I was at this wedding and I just decided that I hated everyone at the table. I was like,
is this pride? Were you drinking?
I wasn't drinking at the time. I wasn't drinking.
It would have been like, funny if you were pissing. Oh, like, I fucking hate everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Dude. That was why I didn't get drunk. I was like, I stopped drinking, and I was like, I remember sitting at
just
the table.
Just want to go home.
Yeah,
I just want to go home.
I just want to go home.
Yeah, like, you're like a toddler.
These people like have invited us to their wedding. It's the greatest day of their life. And all I could think about was, I'm anxious. I had to go outside like three times because they were just talking, and the things they were talking about and the things they were saying, I was just getting upset with. Like,
Well, you know what helped me? I've had panic attack. I had a panic attack once and ended up in hospital.
Yeah.
And it was just an absolute overexert of just fucking freaking out. That's all it was.
Yeah.
It's all in my head.
Yeah.
And that was one of the other reasons how I found the breathing.
Yeah.
With the Wim Hof method breathing.
Yeah.
Excellent. And just, there's a really cool book out. I was listening to it on the way. Can't even quote the author, but it's called Breath.
Yeah.
And it talks all about how important it is with the way that we breathe and how it can help us in different ways. But yeah, the biggest one is anxiety for me was once I learned how to do the breathing, just to calm down.
Yeah.
Because it's crazy. It can also, depression, it's all...
It's
all there.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. And I haven't done any of the Wim Hof method stuff, but I used to do a lot of running. And believe it or not, looking at me, it doesn't look like it. But I used to. I used to run quite a bit when I was in the RAF, and they made me do it. And that feeling of, like, when you're puffed out and you're like, it's hard to get, like... I'll usually start mouth breathing really, really hard. And you go, and you're shallow breathing as well.
Yes.
And then that feeling of forcing yourself, and it almost feels, when you start doing it, you feel like you're suffocating almost. It's just like, slow it down. So in through your nose, out through your mouth. And it doesn't matter how much you feel like you're going to fucking freak out and faint. You just force yourself. And all of a sudden, you don't slow your pace or anything like that, but you're not puffed anymore. And you're like, what? Like, and it's all just that forced breathing. And then
it's crazy how that's...
Yeah, and you're like, nothing changed. And all of a sudden I went from, like, I'm about to stop to now I'm just, like, I'm just in a cycle. And it's almost like Zen. People talk about runner's high. I don't think it's anything sort of fancy. It's literally you just focus on your breathing. So it's meditative. So that's where that trance comes from, in my experience anyway.
Yeah. It's breath. It's a big one. It's a big one, the old breath. Yeah, look up that book, Breath.
Yeah.
I've been doing it a bit, but I've always got this, I don't know if it's because I've eaten before I do it. you find sometimes you get like this thing in your stomach? I've been getting that. It's weird.
What do you mean?
After I do like a breathing cycle, if I'm like going to get in the shower and cold or just sitting outside in the sun just doing it, I get this like this fucking feeling in my guts. It feels like a ball or something.
That
like
could be a there. Good thing. But could, well, either that or you got fucking kidney stones. Yeah.
It could be anxiety.
It could be that.
Does it feel like anxiety?
No, I just feel like a physical sensation of like something's in there.
See, when one of the things that they do, like, and just to quote it, Wim Hof didn't. He's not the first one to do this, and he
yeah, like, yogis have been doing it.
Yeah, they've been doing it for thousands of years. Yeah. He's just the first one to spread it.
Yeah,
and take it to science and just prove that it's why it's good.
Yeah,
because if someone tells you, oh, there's these Tibetan monks and they dry towels just by breathing, you're like, yeah, fucking whatever, dickhead. Yeah. But if you go, a scientist said that it's possible, then people go, oh, okay then. Okay.
Yeah. Have you seen the Rogan episode with Wim Hof?
No.
Okay, so Wim Hof went on Rogan with his son, and Wim Hof, he had to go on with his son because his son, like, checks him.
Yeah, he does that.
He says some crazy shit.
He does, yeah.
And he's not lying.
No.
He never lies. None of the stuff he's saying is like a lie. He 100% does everything he says he does. But he says crazy stuff, and then the son has to be like, okay, we actually did a scientific study.
Yes.
Okay, and yes.
It sounds like we...
One time he did dive under a lake and he swam that far because he's crazy and we tell him not to, but we can't stop him. But this is actually what happened in the peer review study that he did. And like the Everest climb that he did in the board shorts. And everyone's like, you can't regulate your body heat. It's like, it's impossible, all of this stuff. And he's like, no, you can, and I did. And here's the photos to prove it. And it's just him, top of Everest. It was easy.
Yeah.
He's talking about how easy it was.
Well, he can regulate his body heat that well that when they were doing one of the ice baths on him to test him, he was melting the ice.
He was getting warmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was melting the ice while they were pouring it in there.
Yeah.
And he's just got such a good control. But with your gut, one of the things that he does is that even the Tibetan monks, they focus on as if there is a bit of red coal in their gut.
Mm.
And that's how they focus on when they're breathing. It's kind of like blowing on embers on a fire that...
Right.
You're making it bigger.
Mm.
So they would sort of visualize that as well. And that's what helps them do it as well. It's like the breathing and that. Also, maybe just fucking go get your gut checked, mate.
I am getting it checked.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for months to get a camera shoved up my ass.
T-bone stuck in there or something. He swallowed it too quick.
Yeah. It's crazy, like, some of the things people are doing now where it's, like, scientifically provable. It's like...
Yeah.
The days of fucking pub stories are pretty much over now that people can Google stuff.
Yes.
But you do see occasionally, like, just people doing the most insane things and you're like, man, I don't know how you do it. Like, Wim Hof is definitely one of those people. You see a lot of fucking athletes now as well doing some crazy shit. Like, I don't know if you follow the UFC much.
No, but I have heard. I was listening to that the author of that book on the way up. He was saying there is certain people who follow athletes who are strong about breathing through their nose and not their mouth. And he said if you go back and look at photos of them in the events, all the competitors have got their mouths open, and that one person will have their mouth shut.
Yeah,
just to get more oxygen or
the way
it works.
For a lot of those people, unfortunately, it's not a choice, like, because their noses are so busted up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but,
like... Oh, UFC.
Yeah, UFC fighters.
Yeah, that's probably a hard one to sort of... That's like saying to a swimmer, just fucking breathe through your nose.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't, mate, I'll sink.
Yeah, but, just watching... You see a fighter who'll win the belt, and, like, the fighter who wins the belt and the fighter who defends the belt, in a lot of cases, are a completely different person. It's like people, once they hit that goal, that threshold, it's almost like they hit another level as well. Like, that fucking... It just sort of... For me, it shows, like, oh, yeah, you've got this... Everyone's got that potential. Everyone's got, like, that level where it's like, all right, that's my goal... But then there's so much more on top of that.
Totally.
That you're you can do and what you can achieve. And it's like, all right, cool. Not everyone can be the best fighter in the world or whatever. But taking that to anything else, it's like you can get good at stuff and you can get better at things than you thought you'd ever be.
We underestimate ourselves way too much. Way too much.
Yeah.
And that's why I was saying, Ethan, like if you haven't had any cold exposure, go and do this. You could go and do it. Because
just go get in your shower.
Hey?
Just go get in your shower.
You could.
After listening
but
to this.
But it's so much better than sitting around in the snow.
Yeah. But there's that thing in your head that's like, well, why would I do that? Well, why should I do that?
Oh,
you know how people go like, I can't get on stage, like I could never do that. It's like, well, you can, you just don't want to.
Yeah, you could do, I reckon, even if you just, if someone just looked up the health benefits of cold exposure, it would freak you out.
Yeah.
It's crazy how good, how much stuff that's good, that is good for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just saying how like, you know, if you've never, these, some of these people I don't think have ever had an ice bath before. Yeah,
don't even worry about the health benefits. Just worry about, just give a try.
Yeah.
Like, don't even bring any of that into it.
Just have, like, you, have your normal shower
and
then finish it with, like, even if you do 10 seconds to start off with.
I don't do that. I just get straight into the cold. I can't do the hot to cold. I don't like it.
I prefer, like, the hot to cold.
Nah, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I'd prefer to just get in there, set it to cold, and just fucking smash it on, because I don't want the gradual, like, because then I'm comfortable and I don't want to leave comfort. I'd rather just be like, eh. Shower time.
Well, Johannes says, whack. I like what Johannes said. It's stuck in my head. He goes, it's like the Matrix. He goes, when you get in the shower, you can take the red pill or you can take the blue pill.
Yeah.
Which one are you going to take?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I personally find cold showers so much more harder than sitting in the lake at Thredbo.
Yeah.
And I think it's because that force, it's hitting you and you have to constantly keep moving the body to stay cold.
Yeah.
Because you can move over here, and then next thing that this shoulder will be warm, or then you gotta. Whereas once you're submerged, you're just focused on warming up the body.
Yeah. Yeah. And breathing
through breath. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just one of those things that your brain tells you, like, why would I do that?
Because you do cold exposure.
I've done a few showers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just been getting into it, like as of like the last month. Yeah.
How long have you been going for?
Like 2 minutes.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
And how do you feel afterwards?
No, all right, like it's good. I'm good for like a few hours after it, but I haven't had like longer lasting things. I have to like keep doing it.
Yeah.
But it's, I think the breathing's been helping me more.
Yeah, and it's funny, you'll see people will fluctuate between the two. Some people will be like, oh, I'm doing more breathing now, I'm doing more cold exposure now.
Yeah.
See, I'm doing it since I finished that. I wouldn't call it a retreat. Once I finished doing that event, I guess you could say, I followed on with Johannes and we're doing cold exposure every day.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it'll be all through winter. And then if you can't, it's like if you skip a day, that's all right. But if you skip two, then you've got to do two cold exposures the next time. Like that next
two
day.
Two in one day, yeah.
Yeah, two in the one day.
Yeah.
So.
Have you, with that sort of, with the goal setting as well, like I've been trying to change some of my more unhealthy habits, so trying to go to the gym and stuff like that. Do you do like a reward system or anything for yourself?
I'll get fucked up the next day. No.
Yeah, but do you have like
straight
a thing
straight out
like,
of the bath, do a shot.
Yeah. I'd have to say, it sounds very, I know, a bit corny, but I guess I'd have to say that the reward is me being a better person.
Yeah.
For it.
Yeah.
And being, see, the cold helps me mentally, big time.
Yeah.
So, like, I've very rarely would I find myself, I'm still running on a high after this last weekend that we did, but I would find, even when I was going prior to this event, if I was using cold exposure, mental health went down, like gone, nearly much. So I was never, so basically by me keeping that up, that is my reward.
Mm. Yeah.
Being happier and pushing myself. I mean, I'm like, I'm only a little guy. Like, I used to hate the cold.
Yeah.
And the same as Johannes would say it, Wim Hof says it, we don't like the cold, we use it.
Yeah, okay.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
Like, nothing gets, you don't, like, cold don't think that cold, I get used to the cold. You just get used to doing it.
Mm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Same as doing comedy.
It's exactly the same.
Still feels shitty when I'm fucking pacing out the back.
Yeah.
You're just more comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is. It's just you're just a better person for it. And then you push yourself more. But I mean, everything's done in a controlled environment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't do the breathing while you're driving down the M4 or fucking something like that. You know, you're doing it at home. You're doing, you know, if you're, doing the ice baths at home, it's all.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's, like, this week been trying to work out. The goal is 3 times a week, just go to the gym. And that forcing myself, like, I've just finished work, I have to go. But that feeling afterwards, and it usually kicks in a couple of hours later. I remember Wednesday night, I went and did, like, cardio session, drove home, and then drove back into town. And, like, as I was walking in the front doors, I just felt, like, good. There's, like, no stress. I'd left it all, like, it fucking sucked.
It was all left on the bench.
Like, yeah, I was, like, I was literally, like, I had a goal of rowing for 20 minutes. I got in the gym and I started rowing. I got to about 5 minutes. I was, like, wow, this is way harder than I remember. I'm going to go fucking jump on the elliptical. So I didn't fit 5 minutes on the rowing machine and 15 on the elliptical. And the goal is now to do 20 minutes on the rowing machine, like just slowly build up. That feeling of like just being tired but happy and feeling like you've achieved something is like, yeah, because when I was trying to build up for it, I mean, I do therapy usually once every 2 weeks, 3 weeks. My psychologist is like, oh, you know, set yourself up a reward system and all of that. So if you go to the gym and you set your goal, you give yourself points or whatever they are, and then you do something good for yourself. So, and then like what you were saying as well, that's what I've noticed also, is that feeling like that, the whatever fucking chemicals are released in your brain. You're like
dopamine.
Yeah. It's like, all right, this just feels fucking great. It's like, it sucks because my arms are sore and I'm fucking tired, but like that feeling of, I went and did it. Achieve something. So
definitely. And that's what I feel, that pretty much, like this morning, okay, it was windy, it was cold, I didn't want to go out and sit in the bath, and it wasn't until, sometimes I would spit it up, I would cut it right down, I'd be like, can you get out of bed? Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
Can you put your shorts on? Yes.
Yeah.
Can you grab the towel? Yes. Can you get in the car and drive to the beach? Or can you drive, or can you walk to the backyard to get in the bath?
Yeah.
Yes. Rather than going, do you want to go have a, no, fucking no, I don't.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Just follow the steps. All right, we'll get there. And then I'll be in that, I'll say, for example, I'll be in the bath. I'll be in there and halfway through, I'm already going, thank fuck I did this.
Yeah.
I'm glad I did this. I've pushed myself where I wouldn't normally do it. So I've pushed myself. One joke that we had going, I started up this joke when we were going through the weekend and we were doing these saunas, and the saunas were hardcore. Like, they weren't fun.
Yeah.
You're in there for like 20 minutes and it's just like, you know, sometimes we'd push it and stuff like that. Sometimes we'd fall out and we'd just be laying on the ground. And,
yeah.
You know. But yeah, we were, we had this thing where I was joking around with the guys. I was like, right, what we'll do is, because it's all about bonding, like you said before, it's all about team, everyone being together. And then, so what we'll do is, I said, why don't we just change it up? So when you're feeling fucked, just look for someone else who's more fucked than you, and you go, well, I'm not as bad as that person.
Yeah.
I'm going to get through this.
Until you look around and everyone's smiling.
Yeah. So I had one of the guys, Adam, we had this ongoing, me and him were always pretty much tit for tat. Like, we would always, if it was too cold, we'd be the ones going, fuck, this is fucking, we've been here a long time. Or if it's hot, we're like, fuck, this is bullshit, you know? So I'd always be looking at each other going, are you good? And he'd be going, yeah, I'm good. And I'd go, fuck, damn, fuck, spewing. Yeah. Or if you catch someone out, you go, nah, man, I'm fucked. You go, awesome, I'm feeling heaps better now, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Mental games, man, it's a big one.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what, that's helped me. Another reason why the cold exposure was so good for comedy was because that's uncomfortable. And when you make uncomfortable, you're comfortable. It makes it easier for to tap into. We go, well, I'm going to do this. This is going to be uncomfortable, but that's where I thrive. I'm okay with uncomfortable. I can thrive in that area.
Yeah.
Rather than freaking out.
Yeah. One of the just recently one of the big moments I've had in comedy was the Clown and Anchor. We rocked the up last this, gig. Not the last gig, it was a couple of weeks before that.
Oh, yeah, we did heaps of time.
Yeah, we all did. We rocked up, there was four comics. That was it. And they're like, this is usually an hour and a half, 2 hour show. They're paying Eddie to put on a comedy show. It doesn't matter what it is, but we've got to do a fucking comedy show. And there's no one here. So it's just like, all right. I have to get up there and I have to do 20 minutes. I've never done 20 minutes. I've never done any of it. And it's to four people in the crowd, two of whom have seen all of my jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just like, fuck it. I'm just going to get up there. And I was like, the goal was just to be a professional. Just get up there. It doesn't matter. And do your bits, do your set and do your time. And treat it like it's a pro show and have fun like it's a pro show. And having done that, it's like it taught me a lot in that, like, it's your outlook going into some of those gigs are really what's going to fucking drive your performance in a lot of cases. Yeah, you can't help the crowd sometimes. You can't help there's four people there. But you can get up there and you can deliver it like there's a 60-person crowd.
Yeah, that's right.
And at the very least, none of the comics are going to turn out like, what were you trying so hard? Dude, I would say 99% of the comics that I know would turn around and go, fuck yeah, man, good work. Stay professional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's bombing tonight, that's okay. But, like, you got up there and you did it. So, like, I'm trying to, with myself personally, trying to do that for everything. Like, just change that outlook. Like, yep, I'm here. I've got a job to do. It doesn't matter what it is, and I'm just going to get it done. And then the feeling of accomplishment that comes after that is the reward. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, okay, I bombed for 20 minutes, but that's okay because I bombed like a professional. I bombed like I was getting paid to bomb.
Do you know one of the best advice I've ever had with comedy, it's probably been a handful of them, but one of them was told by me when I very first started. I was trying out for Raw at the Comedy Store. So that's like basically, it was the only time I ever performed at the Comedy Store in Sydney.
Yeah.
And I was shitting myself. I was only like, fuck, I've only been doing it for like weeks, I'm talking. Right? And I'm freaking out at the back with everyone else that's freaking out. And Tom Bullard's there, he's just sitting on his phone. And I'm like, how can you be so relaxed?
Yeah.
And he's just looking down at his phone and he goes, fuck them, they can't do what you're about to do.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's the best way to take the ease off that pressure.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking, you got to go out there, you want to do your best, and you're like, just... like you said, just be happy. Just do your bit and be happy about you doing it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it will shine through.
We did Raw here this year just gone, and it was one of the funnest gigs I've ever done because every one of the comedians, like from the Newcastle scene who was there, we were all just out the back just fucking talking shit and having fun and laughing the entire time.
Yeah.
Like...
awesome.
And it was just a fun fucking gig. And I wasn't like, it wasn't one of those gigs where everyone's like pacing around. Like the year before Raw, everyone was pacing around, trying to remember their set, going over it in their heads. There was none of that. Like every one of us were just like, yeah, we know our sets. Like we're going to just have fun. When Ben fucking got through, when he won, he was out the back, feet up, on his phone, just texting. Didn't give a fuck. Fuck. Didn't give a fuck and he won.
Well, better get out there then.
Yeah. He was like, Ben, you won. He's like, oh shit, all right. And then went out there. It was like one of the funnest gigs, man. And it was exactly
that's awesome.
That. It was just, got out there. You can't bomb. You can't the comedians in the local scene. There's not a single there is. There's a couple. The majority of comedians cannot bomb in that room. Like in that Raw room, you've got a great hot crowd. We had Rowan Fanbar emceeing, so like the fucking ball's there, it's lined up, you've just got to hit it, and that's it. And I think the only people that bombed were the people who weren't really comedians.
Yeah, well, like you said, there's some people that rock up that haven't been doing it for heaps long.
Yeah,
they're just like, oh, Raw comedy. So I know some people that have done Raw to start doing comedy.
Yeah, same.
They're just like, oh.
That's loose.
They didn't know about open mics and shit, so they're just like, oh, just, that's like, oh, I'm going to do a drug. What's the first step of a drug? I'll try DMT. Just go straight in the deep end.
Yeah.
Don't even worry about anything else. You just got to do raw off the bat to like 200 people at the roundhouse. Yeah, it's nuts. But some of those people stick around. They're still doing it. It's a good gig.
Well, the guy who, Reedy, he beat me in the Raw.
Yeah.
And he's fucking not doing it anymore. I'm like, hang on a second, that's not fair.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe that was their goal. Oh, I just want to prove I'm best in the state and then I'll just fuck off.
There's a lot of that in comedy, though. There's so many people who just, like, slowly start to drop off. I make a point to try and reach out to people. I haven't seen them in a couple of weeks. Broden, talking to you, motherfucker. Get to some open mics. but I'll try, because it's one of those things, like, people can just, especially comedians, we're all fucking nuts.
Like, oh, mate, it's so easy for me to not do gigs because I've got, you know, I'm a family man, four kids, a couple of businesses I'm trying to run.
Mm.
And then, you know, in amongst all of that, the next thing you know, you're like, fuck, I haven't done a gig for months.
Yeah, yeah.
And then now it's just like, you know, and I've got a wife that's saying to me, go do the gigs, go do it. But I'm like, you know, spinning all these plates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck, I've got to keep these plates spinning and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. So that's why, that was another reason why I did go away and did this breathless expedition. But it was, yeah, it was like, now that I've come back, I'm like, you know what? No, I'm going to do, like, even today, it was easier for me to go, oh, no, I don't have time to do the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, fuck it. You're going.
Yeah.
You're going. Can you get in the car? Yes.
Yeah.
Can you put your jacket on? Yes. Yeah. Can you drive to Newcastle?
That was me yesterday. Can you get in the car? No. I'm still too fucked.
Yeah.
I did too
many
drugs.
Should you get in the car?
No. Are you over the limit? Yes.
Yeah. Try explaining.
Do you need
to
sleep
officer?
More? Yes.
Well, officer, I had this idea. I was at home, and I said, "I bet you can't get in the car." I said, "I can. I'm gonna get in the car." you turn right?
Yeah.
Should you turn right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
We're pretty much done on time. Yeah. But is there anything else you just want to get out while you're here?
No, I'd love to see you guys. That's good.
Yeah,
catching up.
I think we got all the meat off the bone on this one.
Yeah.
We've got some things to think about.
Yeah. Time for a cold shower.
Yeah. You know what? My next shower, Cabba, I'll do a cold plunge.
You'll have a crack at it for me?
I'll have a go, and then I'll message you, and I go, you're fucking insane, cunt.
Oh.
Do the breathing
first. Sounds good. Do me a favour. When you do the cold, just do your best to slow the breathing down.
I'll send you a recording, and it'll just be... And that'll just be the sound of my nuts ascending into my stomach.
It's so uncomfortable, but it's worth it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on, Cabba. Love you, bro.
Cheers.
Thanks, mate.
Bye.